Insights from the Sleeper Wire Fantasy Football Show will help you win your fantasy football championship. Sleeper Wire, Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Sleeper Wire on Dash Talk.
Today's show is sponsored by NewAmsterdam.com. You have brilliant ideas every day, business ideas, project ideas, even life goals. But do you write them down? Action creates success. Get a notebook with style. Never forget your inspirations again. Check out the durable, sleek notebooks that you'll want by your side every day at knewamsterdam.com. That's newamsterdam.com. Welcome to the Sleeper Wire Show. Today is November 7, 2017. I'm your host, Producer Steve, and with me today is Twitterless Max. Twitterless Max, thanks for being on the show today.
Hello. Yes, I'm Twitterless.
Well, listen, I wanted to start off the show today. We got week 10, but we heard a funny joke on the mail sack this week. I wanted to share that with you.
Hey, do you know what the Alphabet and the Giants have in common?
What's that?
They both have one W.
And that is still true, so the joke still works this week because they got their butts kicked by the Rams this week. We're going to get in all that along with all the other games. We're going to tell you what we saw in terms of fantasy value. We're going to talk about waiver targets, trade opportunities, and you should take notes in your New Amsterdam notebook because we're going to flag some players you're going to want to stash if you're playoff bound. And we're going to talk about some high reward, high risk guys you might consider if you're on the playoff bubble. And if your season is shot and you're just playing spoiler, well, these are guys you're going to want to grab too. But first, let's get to the news. All right, so it was a big fight week in the NFL. Just pretty crazy. I don't know if they all watched the GSP Bisping fight and just got into it, just got fired up. But
they were fired up.
Dude, it was crazy. I've never seen so many punches thrown in one week. It's really nuts.
Honestly, it was ridiculous. It was crazy.
I mean, unprofessional aside, but like you had guys getting ejected that were fantasy relevant. If they hadn't already, you know, scored, you were kind of screwed if you were an AJ Green guy or, you know, Mike Evans guy. So he was actually the only guy, Mike Evans being the only player suspended for fighting. Amazing. He's got 1 week. He's appealing it. But so far, he's the only guy that's got any kind of punishment for this. So we'll talk about the Bucks later. If you lose Mike Evans, though, Max, for a week, are you really concerned? Are you
not really? Like, Winston's gone. I like Fitzmagic, but I mean, Mike Evans is—he's not going to be doing what you think he's going to do, you know, without Winston being there. And just about that suspension, I'm sure you saw both altercations, like Greens and Evans.
Yep.
In both of those situations, the wide receivers vastly overreacted.
Oh, yeah.
And what was Winston doing on the sidelines?
I have no idea. So the word was because he was making a joke.
The defensive player shoved him, and then Evans just freaked.
Yeah.
And then with Green, it's like Green, like, yeah, you guys get in an argument, you push and push. Like, don't, like, just start throwing haymakers, dude. Like, you're professional. Walk away, you know? Yeah. It was one of those things I saw. It's kind of like what I mentioned when Richard Sherman had that, like, very late hit on Marcus Mariota. That pissed me off. Because it's, like, unnecessary. You don't need to do that. Do not. Yeah. Like, you know, you're letting your emotions get the best of you. And you play on tilt. You lose games. You don't perform to your best. And you get suspended. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's actually a big theme of this week is teams that seemed focused and ready to play and teams that played too emotionally and just didn't control themselves. I think if he misses a week, maybe Cameron Brate and D-Jax get an uptick in usage, but maybe that's probably all you're going to see. But check and seal. The appeal is pending, so we'll see. Dez Bryant has a minor knee injury. In addition to the ankle ailment he suffered this week, consider day-to-day. Cole Beasley scored a couple nice touchdowns this week. Terrence Williams kind of hurt his knee as well, so this is something to monitor for the rest of the week.
Depending on Dez Bryant's status, look at Bryce Butler.
Bryce Butler, all right. NBC in Denver reports that the Broncos will stick with Brock Osweiler as their Week 10 quarterback. So start the defense of the Patriots in Week 10.
Yes, but honestly, Brock Osweiler, as much as we all don't like him and as much as I was screaming he wasn't a good quarterback when he was traded to Houston, he will be effective in PPR with Sanders and with Thomas because he's a short throw guy.
Yeah.
So if you're in a full point PPR, they should still be viable wide receiver twos for you just because they're going to get thrown to a lot.
Bucks, Dirk Cutter says he's shutting down quarterback Jameis Winston for a few weeks while his shoulder heals, so Fitzpatrick is in. We kind of talked about this a little second ago. I think it's a bang to the Bucks offense in general, but they really haven't looked like a team that knows what the hell they're doing.
No, they're in a rough spot. I mean, the one thing they had with Fitzpatrick is he is a he's a game manager and he's a veteran. And with the Jets, I know he didn't do well, but he's not going to lose the game for them. So that's why I'm saying, like, Evans, even if he appeals, isn't going to be a sexy pick because I don't think Fitzpatrick's going to be looking downfield very much. It's going to be a lot of checkdowns. Brate, as you mentioned, I think will be great.
Yeah.
Doug Martin should see an uptick, especially in the passing down work. I just don't know if Fitzpatrick still has the cannon power, you know what I mean, to
right.
get the ball down to Mike Evans.
Right. I know what you mean. All right, we head back to the Jets here. Jeremy Curley suspended without pay for the team's next four games for violating the policy on performance-enhancing substances. So that takes a weapon away from McCown. Small uptick to Robbie Anderson. ASJ still starting for you. Anybody else on the Jets wide receiver core that you think gets a value bump in this?
No. Right. Like the Jets are an interesting team. Like, I don't like them, but I like McCown.
Yeah, I like him. I like him week 10 against the Bucs.
He just slings. Again, yeah. He slings. Powell, you can see him upticking him probably usage wise. I don't know. It's kind of tough with the Jets because their number two can really be anyone.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's if you started a wide receiver on the Jets that. Like, did well for you last week, start him again this week because you never know. But if you're yep. doing that, you're probably, like me, and desperate for a wide receiver. They're probably not your first choice.
Yeah, Curse is still there, too, so I don't know. Yeah, it's for those who are desperate. Julio Jones has a lower leg injury and will be limited at practice this week, so don't panic. He's kind of been playing banged up. He just looked like he was coming in and out of the game this week, grimacing. He's going to play through it most likely. He always does. But this is Julio. This is what he does every year. You know, he plays hurt, so can't get too worried about this. If he does miss time, I'm assuming Mohamed Sanu is the guy to get or play.
Taylor Gabriel,
really?
I think.
All right.
The number twos in that team have been doing a lot better this year, in my eyes, in my opinion. And it's a new offensive coordinator, so there's a lot of kinks to work out. I know the Falcons aren't looking like the Falcons of last year, but it always takes a season with a new playbook. So next season, I'd be more in line of like wanting to draft Falcons players. But if I needed someone to start this week and Julio Jones is out, I'd probably be looking more towards the Gabriel or towards the tight end in Hooper.
All right. The Browns have designated Corey Coleman, who had that broken hand, to return from injured reserve this year. He will resume practicing Monday. He's been sitting on one of my team's IR spots. Should I be excited about this addition to the Browns offense?
Well, no, you shouldn't, because the Browns couldn't trade for A.J. McCarron because they screwed up.
Yeah,
they filed all their paperwork at 4:05 when the trade deadline was at 4 p.m. They almost had a good quarterback.
Talk about
almost.
Like, all right, so you're saying Corey Coleman not worth the stash, but I don't know. Who might disagree with you on that one? I know he's high on that guy.
All right, I can't say he's not worth the stash because I've been stashing Josh Gordon. A great receiver is a great receiver.
Right.
In my eyes. But if you're looking for, like, Corey Coleman, could it be, like, a nice wide receiver, too, for you? In my eyes, Josh Gordon, when he comes back eventually, you know, Neverland, could be a wide receiver one for me. With the current roster they have, I just don't see it happening. That being said, a wide receiver three in PPR, you know, as a bi-week filler for late in the season, that could be a nice little addition because Corey Coleman's a very talented receiver.
All right, so he's one of those guys that maybe if you got the space, grab him for your playoff push if you're looking good.
I'd do that. And so say they decide to start him this week, I wouldn't start him until week, like, 13, right. Which I know is a goal that's deep, but I'd want to see what's going on for 2 weeks to see, like, the production. You know what I mean?
Yeah, make sure that hand is back to normal and everything, too. All right.
Exactly.
All right, I'm done with that. Speaking of Monday, Titans coach Mike Mularkey revealed DeMarco Murray is dealing with a knee injury. Well, gee, thanks. I mean, we should have guessed.
I think we all knew that.
Yeah.
After watching the game. If you're a Derrick Henry owner, you know, bravo. Yeah. If you're a DeMarco Murray owner, hold out. He's still great. Like,
yeah. But people are panicking because of this week. They faced a tough defense, and neither one of them did a whole hell of a lot. but you're saying hold on to them. I mean, I've been holding both of them in a league, and it's been driving me crazy this year.
If you're holding both of them, it's next week, start Henry. Unless you get the like 100% clear from DeMarco. The Titans are in a very interesting spot where they have two extremely good running backs, and they have an older one and a younger one. So they're not forcing Henry to do anything. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Because they don't need to. So they can save the wear on him until DeMarco is ready to retire, and that's kind of great for them and for his career long term. So this is a team that truly does not give a shit about your fantasy life.
Yeah.
They are playing for the NFL. But that being said, if DeMarco is out, Derrick Henry is an automatic start, no questions asked.
Absolutely. Texans coach Bill O'Brien says he expects Tom Savage to start Week 10 against the Rams. I don't know how you can expect him to, like, either say it he is or he isn't, but we had a little talk about Tom Savage before the show. He got thrown into the situation, got the news on Thursday that Watson was out. It was a, you know, like, what, 3 days to get ready. He looked okay, you said. So you think he's going to be serviceable? The offense is not going to hurt too much?
He didn't look clean. He didn't look clean, but he looked okay. Don't expect Deshaun Watson numbers because he's not as mobile as Deshaun Watson. But it's like what I said to you last week when I found out I was hosting the show. I kind of was all over the place because I wasn't really ready to host the show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't mentally like – I was like, oh, crap. I have like 2 hours to prep for to prep to be the main host, and I – definitely wasn't ready. So when you're on the big stage of a football, you know what I mean, the NFL, you're playing football and you think you're going to be backing up and then, hey, your starter gets hurt and you're like, all right, I need to snap into starter mode right now when you're not expecting it. Give the guy a week.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't be worried about Fuller. I wouldn't be worried about Hopkins. Lamar Miller is probably going to suffer because the pass game isn't going to be as good. Savage, if you're in a 2QB league, will be a fine number two for you. If it's a bye week fill-in, like if Derek Carr's out and he's a quarterback, I could say roll with him. The Rams defense is good, but they let up points.
Okay, and also CJ Fedorowicz has a good chance to return week 10, so that might be a sneaky tight end you want to pick up. Maybe one of those playoff push guys that you could use, especially if we expect Tom Savage to kind of stay in the pocket and dump the ball down off short. Fedorowicz could be a nice beneficiary of that type of play calling.
Oh, 100%. And I will say, I was in desperation mode this week because I had Hunter Henry. He's on a bye, or this past week, rather. And Jared Cook Jr. was on the wire, and I was so excited. And I had a friend watching football with me, and I was like, I cannot wait to see the Raiders game. And he was like, why? And I was like, oh, I have Cook. And he's like, so? And I was like, so have you not been watching football? There's a lot of tight ends that are still available out there in free agency that can do wonders for your team, guys. So just keep your eyes open. Look for the check down. Look for the injuries. If an O-line is looking weak, so if you notice like, oh, Houston actually just traded away one of their O-linemen to Seattle, so their O-line is going to be a little weaker, Fedorowicz will be the guy you're looking for because he's going to be that check down that's going to be used more often than not because the line will be weaker.
Yeah, and he's coming back from just a concussion, so it's not like he's coming back from a leg injury or an arm injury or something that's going to, you know, affect his physical performance. As long as he's good from the concussion, he should be physically, you know, the rest of the body should be good to go. So he's a nice little stash. The Ezekiel Elliott thing continues on. He played this week. Another hearing on the injunction is set for Thursday at 2 p.m., so that's all we're going to say about it right now. We'll get into that a little bit in the Dallas recap, but just follow the news on that for right now. Bills coach Sean McDermott says Charles Clay will not practice Monday. You might see him later in the week. This is a guy you're going to have to monitor the practice reports to see if he's ready to go this week, but that's another tight end, Max, that you might want to grab. Could be useful very soon, or could be very useful in the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, Vikings quarterback Teddy Bridgewater expect to be activated Wednesday. We've been saying don't be surprised if he's still a backup to Keenum.
I wouldn't start him at all this year. Case Keenum has honestly earned that start. Like, he hasn't earned the starting job, but like he has. He's done what they want him to do. He's done what they asked him to do, and he's doing it well. Bradford, forget about him. He's a good backup. But Teddy Bridgewater, coming off such a horrific knee injury, especially one that was non-contact and was so much more than just a torn ACL. Like, his knee, like, from all the reports at the time, literally, like, exploded within itself.
Right.
Don't rush him back just because he's ready. I understand the kid wants to go. He's ready to go. But he is your franchise quarterback, and the season is more than halfway over.
Yeah. So I wouldn't add him in any leagues for sure.
No, unless it's a keeper. Not worth it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, keeper league maybe, but even that, I'm a little bit hesitant. I want to see him play before anything like that. Josh Gordon, let's talk about him. Scheduled to report to the Browns on Tuesday. What is going to happen in that meeting?
He's going to practice, and then he's going to get put on waivers, hopefully. He ends up on Seattle. It'd be so sick.
I know you're holding
him. Did you see the comment in our group chat where Chris was like, oh, my God, Josh Gordon got reinstated and Max hasn't added him yet?
Yeah.
And then Mike responded with, he's been on Max's team all season.
Exactly, yeah.
I love Josh Gordon. I wish and I hope that he is finally mentally all ready to not – like do drugs and drink, which don't get me wrong. Like I know with weed laws changing and stuff, like I'm not against weed. I'm not against alcohol, but if your career dictates that you just don't, hey, if you don't smoke weed and you don't drink, like because you smoke so much weed, if you don't drink, we'll pay you millions and millions of dollars.
Jeez.
Like you probably just shouldn't do it. You know what I mean? Someone gave me the option. Hey, if you put that joint down, I'll pay you $10 million this year. I'd be like, what joint? I've never even heard of that.
It's gone. Disappeared. Yeah. You swallowed it. Yeah.
It's gone. Never again.
I mean, you've been holding him, but a lot of people have been asking, like, should I grab him? Is he worth the flyer? Yeah.
Well, he's a number one receiver, and I know I make some crazy calls sometimes, but this year, for some reason, I feel like I've been right more than I've been wrong, which is very good for me, to say the least. But I know some of our own hosts don't even like Josh Gordon, but when Josh Gordon's on the field, and if the Browns can click at all, it's a Corey Coleman situation where the talent should transcend the team. If Josh Gordon's on the field, Corey Coleman's numbers are going to go up. So people who have stashed Corey Coleman want Josh Gordon and vice versa because those two receivers are very good. And that alone will open the run game for Isaiah Crowell. So that being said, if Josh Gordon is going to be – if they say like, hey, week 13 he's going to play – might be time to buy low on Isaiah Crowell and stash him for a playoff push.
All right. I'll buy into that a little bit, but with the asterisk next to Josh Gordon's name and the wide receiver one status that you gave him, I want to see it first. I got to see this guy
in shape
and actually playing to the level that he has shown years ago, because if it's not there, then this is all for naught.
No, I 100% agree with you. In my eyes, the guy screwed up. He knows he did. He's coming out. He's telling everyone, hey, this is what I did. I almost ruined my life. Thank you to the NFL and to everyone for giving me a second chance. And that to me, you know, when a guy kind of exposes his demons like that, it shows me that he's ready to move on. He's ready to be better. It's kind of what Johnny Manziel did, but kind of Johnny Manziel did it light. You know what I mean? Johnny Manziel partied, and was like, oh, I'm out of money. I screwed up.
Yeah.
Josh Gordon, now he knows, like, hey, you have no more chances. This is it. You either perform and you make your millions and you live a happy life, or you don't and you go back to whatever you're doing. I'm not saying your life won't be happy. I'm just saying, you know, the quality of life you could possibly live with the NFL salary is very good.
It's pretty damn good.
It's pretty damn good.
All right. Well, listen, I mean, you're selling me a little bit on it, but I like what you said about if he comes back and plays to his level that we would enjoy seeing, then Crowell makes a very interesting little trade target down here for towards the end of the season. You could probably get him for peanuts at this point. So that's one of those guys you might want to put a little check mark or a little star next to his name. Falcons, Devonta Freeman comes down with an undisclosed injury today. Monitor this. We'll see what happens. Obviously, Tevin Coleman's the guy. Anybody else in that Falcons offense that you think maybe a little bit better if Devonta Freeman's out?
If Devonta Freeman's out and it's just Tevin Coleman, the person who I think is going to suffer the most is going to be Julio Jones or whoever the number one will be next week if Julio's out, because Tevin Coleman is such a prolific pass catcher and Matt Ryan loves throwing to him and their offense doesn't look in sync. So I feel like if Tevin Coleman's the primary back, he's going to get a lot of PPR work.
All right, that is it for the news and injuries. Guys, we will cover this stuff throughout the week. You can always talk with us on the Sleeperbot and Fantasy Life apps, and we'll give you more analysis and stuff come Wednesday during the Mail Sack Show. Let's move on to the Week 9 game recaps. All right, let's talk about the Week 9 games. We start with the Jets defeating the Bills 34-21. The Bills just looked unfocused and unready to play. Failed at pass protection. They gave up 7 sacks. Tyrod got most of his points in garbage time. The big story was LeSean McCoy, only 25 yards on 12 carries. 13 of those were in one run. The blocking just wasn't there at all this game. So what's going on, Max? What happened here?
All right, my big thing with this game is do not look at Tyrod Taylor or LeSean McCoy this game. Throw it away. Throw it away. Just throw it away.
All right.
It's a fluke game for them. The O-line didn't look good, and the Jets always have a good defense. Even when they have a bad defense, they have a good defense. They can get to you. And this, I feel like, because Tyrod did everything in his power, LeSean McCoy, we all know, is a transcendent player. The O-line was just very, very bad. The big things I want people to take out of this game is Zay Jones looked really good, and Jordan Matthews looked very good. That being said, with as bad as the O-line was, Tyrod Taylor still got the ball downfield. Now, when the O-line holds up next week, because they should, because they have most of the year, with this passing game kind of becoming what it's becoming, with Tyrod starting to click with his wide receivers, LeSean McCoy will be fine. He only got 12 carries, 25 yards. The reason he was at 12 carries was just gameplay.
Right.
It was how the game unfolded. And the game unfolded kind of unfairly for him, because it's LeSean McCoy. You think he's going to be great every game, but it just wasn't in the cards because of the offensive line. But this isn't an offensive line like the Bears, where I'm like, oh, their line's really bad. Like, I'm worried. Or the 49ers, where I'm like, this is kind of scaring me. The Bills' offensive line is middle of the road. They have good games and they have bad games. This just happened to be a very bad game.
It was a bad game, yeah. Jordan Matthews, like you said, 6 for 46. Pretty good game for him. Benjamin didn't start this game. He just got there. So do you see him having a good spot in this offense?
Well, Dante Thompson, I think, is going to get bumped back down. He had 7 catches for 81 yards. I think that's going to become more of the Calvin Benjamin role, the number one role, which will be great because Zay Jones will be the other outside number two, which was what he was this week, and he excelled for six passes, 53 yards, and a touchdown. And then Jordan Matthews gets slotted right to where he wants to be, which is 6 for 46. He's that short down guy. He's a slants guy. He's the quick ins, quick outs. If Charles Clay is out in PPR, Jordan Matthews will be a very smart play, and I expect better production from Calvin Benjamin, honestly, on the Bills than I did on the Panthers. I didn't like him on the Panthers. I think Cam Newton kind of gave up on him.
Right.
Because you know a decision isn't made in that office without consulting Cam Newton on who's getting cut and stuff like that, or who's getting traded. And I do think that Cam Newton was frustrated with Calvin. I think Calvin was frustrated with the team. But here, he's going to be the number one. It's going to be kind of undisputed. But it was really nice to see Tyrod Taylor getting comfortable with his receivers. And Calvin Benjamin will just open the game up more for everyone.
All right, so that's a good guy to target. A lot of Zay Jones might even be on your waiver wire. Jordan Matthews might still be on the waiver wire. These are guys you might want to pick up very quickly before they do all kind of, like Max said, fall into their natural positions and start really playing well. On the other side of the ball, Buffalo missed a lot of tackles. Forte had a great game, 14 for 77, 2 touchdowns, 4 passes for 19 yards. Bilal Powell, 9 carries for 74 yards. Looks to be a pretty even split. Are you starting one or both or none?
I think the one to start is Powell still. He's more of a receiving back right now in my eyes. I know Forte had the better game overall, but you have to realize the Bills did just get rid of their best tackle to the Jags. So there's some growing pains there. There's going to be some issues, especially the first week without him. I expect them to be better next week. But it will be not a 50-50, but a 60-40. I think Powell will get more snaps going forward. Right. I just think he's the better back at this point of their career. Not saying Forte is bad, because God knows he's not. But with the age that he's at, and the Bills still have, or the Jets are still kind of almost in contention for a wild card spot, they're going to want to keep Forte healthy.
All right. Yeah, Josh McCown throwing the ball 14 for 20 for 140 yards, but 2 touchdowns, 1 passing, 1 rushing. Robbie Anderson caught the TD, 4 for 48. Jermaine Kearse not really involved, 2 for 38. ASJ had a touchdown called back by penalty, 2 for 20. So relatively pedestrian game for the Jets, but they ended up getting the job done. The waiver targets, trade floors, guys that can help you in the playoffs. Any of those guys on the Jets, the Bills, that you were particularly interested in?
Josh McCown to QB leagues, or if you are just not comfortable with your quarterback. Like, I have Derek Carr right now. and I'm not too comfortable with him in a few leagues. Yeah. I wouldn't mind having Josh McCown and playing matchup with that because McCown slings. Robbie Anderson in a PPR is going to be great for a playoff push. McCown loves throwing to him. Safarian Jenkins, I have seen him on the waiver wire in a couple of my leagues, which I find kind of odd, but he wouldn't be a bad ad if you are a Charles Clay owner and you need a tight end. He's going to be fine. On the Bills side of the ball, Jordan Matthews, I think, will be great for PPR. Zay Jones, let's see how it develops with him, with Calvin Benjamin stepping into the fold, but I do like Zay Jones, and Zay and Jordan are probably still on the waiver wire in most leagues.
Most likely,
but especially Jordan Matthews in PPR.
Yeah, check for Charles Clay, too. Somebody might have dropped him with the injury. He might be available. I do agree with you on Josh McCown. I'd love him starting streaming this week, week 10 against the Bucks. After that, his schedule gets a little hairy. But, yeah, he's definitely a matchup guy you can play. Panthers beat the Falcons 20-17. The Falcons just have not looked very good recently. They're showing signs of getting it together. But Julio, dropping that touchdown in the end zone, that was a killer.
I thought that was Mohamed Sanu when it happened, and I was like, damn it, Sanu, you know, I started doing DraftKings, right? Can you just reel it in? And then I saw the 11, and I was like, oh my God, Julio Jones just dropped a pass in the end zone.
By himself. You don't see Julio do that.
Fluke.
Yeah. Oh, Matt Ryan had an okay day, 24 for 38, 313 yards, two touchdowns and an int. Could have been a lot better if he hit Julio. He had two passes that he missed with Julio there, but you get what you get with Matt Ryan. Speaking of Julio Jones, 6 for 118, but the touchdown, he's definitely playing banged up. We talked about his injuries coming in and out of the game. The Falcons have had the early bye, so he's not getting any weeks of rest here. Are you concerned at all about Julio finishing the season? Is he a guy, if he's on your roster, that maybe you're trying to sell at this point, see what you can get for him?
I personally would sell, but I would sell not because of I'm afraid of Julio. I would sell because I'm afraid of the Falcons' offense.
Yeah.
I mean, last year the Falcons beat the Panthers bad. Like, it was bad. But the Panthers' defense is a lot better this year as to where they're healthier. That being said, if I have Julio, I'm hoping they rest him this week. I'm hoping they don't start him so he's healthy for the rest of the season. It depends. If you're a PPR and you can kind of, you know, finagle a Julio for a Thielen and something, or Julio for Landry and something kind of trade, then do it.
Yeah.
Because the name carries a lot. You know what I mean? And he still had a good game.
Yeah. You mentioned maybe that if they rest him or something, or if he does miss time, or maybe that playoff push kind of guy you were talking about, Gabriel and Hooper. Because Sanu's probably already on somebody's roster. So those might be some guys you want to look at.
But I think the number two on this team, unless you're named Julio Jones, is always going to do better than the number one, because we've seen Sanu really explode sometimes when Julio is on the field. Matt Ryan has no problem using his checkdowns at all. So if Sanu is the number one, he doesn't have the ability that Julio does to kind of beat the defense by himself.
Right.
So I would look at the number two.
Look at the number two. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. I like that insight. All right. Panthers defense locked up Devonta Freeman. Only got 46-yard long run of 20, so that's not very good. Tevin Coleman 5 for 5. Didn't do anything either. But that defense looks strong on the Panthers side. Cam Newton, though, he just cannot throw the ball well. 13 of 24 for only 137 yards, no touchdowns. 9 rushes for 86 yards, led the team and a touchdown. I used to be a Cam Newton owner. I got fed up with the 10-point performances and then a 20 and then a 10 and a 10. So this is concerning for other Cam owners, I would assume. Concerning for the Carolina wide receivers owners as well.
If you're not named Funchess, because I feel like he's the only one who gets targeted now. I feel like the Panthers caught a little bit of the feline disease that the Jags had, where their quarterback just can't make a throw. Cam, it's rough. If you have Cam, you expect the rushing from him, which, you know, he obviously does for you. But the passing situation is, if the only person I trust in that team right now is Funchess.
Yeah.
That's literally it. And that's not even because I necessarily think he's a great receiver. I think that Cam is playing at a good level. I just think Funchess gets the ball thrown at him a million times a game. Of the 13 for 24, I wouldn't be surprised if I looked and saw Funchess had like 15 targets. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he did. He caught 5 for 86 this week. The other guy I mentioned, Curtis Samuel, had a nice catch, only 3 for 23. But is he a guy that you might maybe add for the playoff push?
Well, now that Benjamin's out, yeah, I would.
All right. Then we also had, obviously, Jonathan Stewart, 21 yards on 11 attempts, two fumbles. I'm dropping him in all formats. I don't see where I ever feel comfortable starting John Stewart anymore. But McCaffrey, looks like the door is open for him. So McCaffrey owner's got to be loving that. Hopefully he gets some more rushes. Had a pretty good week this week. Greg Olsen is the story for me right now.
Adam, if he's on your wire, Adam.
Absolutely. Eligible to return in week 12. I had a little soundbite, actually. Cam and Greg Olsen in the tunnel after the game. This is what Cam had to say.
Just wait till I get my dog back. Just wait till I get my dog back. It's going to be over for you, suckers.
All right, it's going to be over for you, suckers. If Cam can accurately target Greg Olsen, maybe it's worth the stash. I like
him. If Cam can get the ball within 10 yards of Greg Olsen, it's worth the stash. Greg Olsen is amazing. And, yeah, if he's on the wire, get him. I'm actually targeting – I have a few waivers out for him right now.
The Titans beat the Ravens 23-20. This was a close game. Baltimore defense played well. They failed to stop the Titans in the fourth quarter, though. And Marcus Mariota looked pretty good. Decisive, sharp, looked good on that late scoring drive. Finished with 19 of 28 for 218 and two touchdowns. He doesn't look like he's scrambling much, and I have to believe that hamstring is still bothering him a little bit.
Well, he's definitely beat up. The thing with the Titans is I've never been impressed by their O-line, ever. And they've never had to address it before because they've had Mariota, who can kind of move around it, doesn't need to be protected very long because he is a very good quarterback. This preseason, I made a bet with Nick. I said Carson Wentz will be better than Marcus Mariota. Now, I wasn't factoring in injuries, and I don't wish injuries on anyone, but the Eagles' offensive line, to me, was just so good that Carson Wentz, in my eyes, like was given the green light to perform, where the Titans' offensive line this year, I'm not impressed by it. Right. It's middle of the road. It's okay. But besides Delanie Walker and Corey Davis, you know, starting to show up, there really aren't many wide receivers in that team that are like wowing me. Rashad Matthews looks good. He has. It's kind of surprising because he didn't look that way in Miami. But Eric Decker he got his first touchdown this week. Like, where has he been?
I don't know.
Corey Davis hasn't done anything. Like, it's Delanie Walker and Rashad Matthews. And Rashad Matthews on any other team is probably a wide receiver three. So that's why I kind of really didn't buy into the Mariota hype this year. And I do think he's still hurt.
Yeah, definitely. He's nursing that leg. Corey Davis, though, that was the big story because the guy's coming back, 2 for 28, long of 23. You see a good role for him going forward. Is he going to be more valuable for fantasy teams towards the end of the season here?
I think they want him to be. They really – the Titans have held on to him this long. They want him to be the guy for them. I think you're seeing the end of Decker, especially with the Titans. I wouldn't be surprised if they cut him this offseason. Mm-hmm. But if I was – If I was to own any receiver, it would be Rashad Matthews at this moment. Corey Davis, he's a good story, and I hope he does well, but I haven't seen enough to warrant the ad. You know what I mean? I haven't seen that. There hasn't, like, Rashad Matthews is healthy. Decker is healthy. Delanie Walker's playing. Like, there's right. No reason for me to think Corey Davis is going to step up. As to where, like, Samuel for the Carolina, now that Benjamin's gone, there's an opening. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, they gave him time to heal, and they said they're going to keep him limited, and they're going to work him in slowly. So, like you said, he's a great stash. If he ends up popping at the end of the year, that's awesome. But, yeah, Rashad Matthews is the consistent guy I want right now. But the running game, Jesus, I can't even say the cuss words that I want to say about this running game. Murray, 9 rushes for 19 yards. Derrick Henry, 8 for 26. I mean, it was a tough matchup for the run, but are you buying any of these guys, rest of season schedule included? Like, what do I do with these guys?
I don't have the schedule in front of me, but if DeMarco Murray's out, Derrick Henry is a start no matter what. It's a no-brainer start. With DeMarco Murray, if he's healthy, because he definitely did not look healthy, I'd start him.
All right, but this was a matchup issue, I think, really. So, like, if they're
it
not...
It was a matchup issue, and it's the fact that Marcus Mariota couldn't really make the play. Like, yeah, he had a decent passing game, but he didn't have the game that, like, you expect him to have where he's scrambling and the defense has to always keep an eye on him. They have to watch out for bootlegs and all that craziness. So there wasn't that kind of, like, sneakiness in their offense, which right. They do need. If you look at the Seahawks, like, Russell Wilson was running a lot this week. Mm. And if the Seahawks had a decent O-line, or honestly, Eddie Lacy, they were feeding him the ball. If Eddie Lacy had stayed in that whole game and they got comfortable with all the bootlegs Russell Wilson was doing, that would have opened up the run game for Eddie Lacy. Like, it opened up the pass game for Russell Wilson, even though they did lose. It's definitely – it's something they're going to have to work on. Hopefully, Mariota's healthier at the end of the week, and if he is, and DeMarco's playing, I'd be comfortable starting DeMarco at a flex. I wouldn't expect more than a running back two from him.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too. He's flex territory for me now until, like you said, until that mobility comes back and the offensive line can actually, you know, do something there. The Ravens, meanwhile, they had to throw 52 times because they trailed for most of the afternoon. Flacco went 34-52. Throwing Matt Stafford numbers here, but didn't get the yards. Only 261, two touchdowns, couple of ints, poor protection. Breshad Perriman stinks. Jeremy Maclin led the team with 8 catches for 98. No other player topped the 50-yard mark, though. And Ben Watson didn't have a great game. 7 for 41, good for PPR. Mike Wallace was invisible till the final minute when he got a touchdown. So is the Titan defense really that good, or is the Ravens offense just that bad?
The Titans defense isn't that bad. It's pretty good. Flacco isn't good. He's okay. I think this comes down to the quarterback at this point. Flacco got a huge contract. The offense, if Mariota was on the Falcons, or if Mariota was on the Ravens, it probably would have been a blowout because the Ravens have better receivers. I feel like Flacco is just not aging gracefully. Hopefully I'm wrong, and he just, you know, snaps out of it. I think Maclin actually was a little hurt this game. I think he was still kind of beat up, but yeah. Still, 8 for 98 is great. Wallace needs to get worked in more. They need to get these two wide receivers going. Targeting one guy in a tight end isn't enough. They need to settle on a running back. If Alex Collins is going to be your guy, don't give him 13 carries. Give him 25.
Right, yeah, and then still working in Buck Allen, got the receptions and the touchdown this week, so it's really hard to pick a guy to start for fantasy on that one. And you got Woodhead coming back,
not
too.
Not even fantasy. It's the fact that what Pete Carroll said, which I do agree with, he said, we're going to roll with Eddie Lacy. And people were like, oh, you're not going to do committee? He goes, no, committees don't work. Very rarely can you get two running backs to work in tandem. Like, both – I'm not saying, like, oh, one's a passing back, one's a running – like, one's the between the tackles. I'm talking two between the tackles running backs to get in a flow. If you look at Zeke, you look at Hunt, you look at Bell, sometimes it takes them 10 carries to start picking up the pace and getting it going. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah, start to see the holes. Yeah.
Exactly, and that's what you need. You need a running back to feel out the defense. And once 13 carries isn't enough. Yeah, Buck Allen can break out one for a big run and get lucky, find that one hole and just take off because they're all athletes, you know what I mean? But you need – I say you know what I mean a lot. But you have to give your players a chance. You have to establish a run game. You have to lock down that O-line, and don't be so indecisive with what you want to do.
Right, and of note, you got Woodhead eligible to return week 11. I think it just muddies that backfield a little bit more, and it's going to be harder to pick up who to start in fantasy in terms of that team. Are there any other waiver targets or guys you want to stash in either one of these teams for a playoff push?
Corey Davis, maybe. I think we discussed that already.
That's about it.
I like Alex Collins, and if Harbaugh decides to finally, you know, give him the ball, I think he'll be fine.
All right, Eagles 51, Broncos 23. What a game. What a game. Ajayi, brand new guy, 8 for 77 in a touchdown. It was a long run of 46, though. Blunt, 9 for 37. This is not good for him. And Clement, 12 carries for 51 yards, two touchdowns, reception for 15, and another touchdown. This was mostly garbage time. I got to assume that this is going to be Ajayi's bread and butter.
Ajayi will be the early downs back, and Clement will be the receiving back with Blount sprinkling in a goal line.
All right.
So if there is a running back to own, it'll be Ajayi. I think he's the most rounded and best running back they've had in a very long time. Yeah, if you have Ajayi, congratulations. You held out long enough, and it's too late to get him now if you don't have him.
Yeah, Blount droppable now at this point? I mean,
yeah, I mean, he's a deep league stash anyways. I liked Blount because of his touchdown capabilities.
Right.
And I still think that is there. But with Ajayi there, it's going to be a lot more limited.
Yeah. All right. We had Wentz giving zero Fs that he was facing one of the top secondaries in the NFL. They sure didn't look like it. He went 15 for 27, 199 yards, four touchdowns, didn't have to throw a lot. They were up most of the game. But Zach Ertz was out. That sent people into a panic on Sunday morning. Trey Burton filled in nicely. Two catches, 41 yards, and a touchdown. And Alshon Jeffrey had himself a game. 6 for 84 and two touchdowns. Had a couple of drops. But, man, Wentz looks legit.
Wentz is legit.
You can't sit this guy for anything at this point,
no.
I don't think.
He's great. He's what I wanted him to be this year. Like, he's what I envisioned he would be this year as Carson Wentz. Zach Ertz, if you guys own him, don't worry. They are so in line to make the playoffs. If he has a sore knee, they're going to sit him. But if he's healthy, they'll play him. That's going to be the issue with teams like the Eagles, where they're kind of dominating the league, so they don't really need to start their stars. They can rest them because they have a playoff push to win.
Right. And I think after the bye, they're going to be a little bit healthier. They should get Ronald Darby back. Ertz will be back, hopefully. Ajayi should really understand the playbook a little bit more. Is there any part of this team that you want for your fantasy playoffs that, I mean, that might be available? I don't think you're getting
that's available
any of the big names, but maybe like Aguilar or
maybe Burton if Ertz is hurt. But besides that, I mean, everyone should be owned.
It's going to be hard to get anybody.
You're in a PPR, if you're in a PPR league, maybe. Besides that, the guys that you would think would do work are the guys going to be owned. Nelson Aguilar, if you're in an 18 league and he's on the wire, I'd grab.
All right. All right, fair enough. The Broncos, on their side, they cannot block. They take out that defense touchdown in garbage time, and they're not good. So sad. Brock Osweiler, 19 for 38, 208 yards, touchdown, 2 inches, and just got sacked, I think, 3 times. But he's going to start week 10. So, like I said earlier, fire up the Pats defense. Max, you mentioned Sanders and Thomas are going to be okay. Sanders had a rough game. Thomas had a good game. Anybody on these running back in this running back mess that you're looking at for Denver at all?
If CJ's out, I'd get a Booker. Besides that, no. I think the Broncos really screwed up by taking Simeon out. He was playing without Sanders for a while. He's playing with a really lackluster team. I think the best quarterback on that team is still Trevor Siemian, and they're stupid to hand the reins over to Brock Osweiler already. You stick with your young guys. Stick with your guys. You know, honestly, Siemian was good for them last year. He was good for them for a while this year. It's not a QB issue. It's a team issue. It's an O-line issue. Their O-line's looking terrible.
Yeah, and I mean, there's been rumor that they're going to throw Paxton Lynch into the mix, too. If that happens...
Give him a shot, but, I mean, Paxton Lynch, he couldn't learn your playbook an entire season. It took him a, like, the kid couldn't understand a playbook for an entire season. How is that even a thing?
Yeah. That makes me concerned for Sanders' value, though. If they keep switching quarterbacks up, I think DT will be okay, but I think Sanders takes a value hit.
Sanders runs three routes. You know what I mean? He'll be fine.
That's true.
The receivers they have, the one, like, saving grace for the Broncos. And I'm not talking about Fowler. I'm talking about, like, with Sanders and Demaryius, they've seen it all. They are veterans of the game, and they are masters of the game. They know what needs to be done. Doesn't matter who's in quarterback, they're going to run their route, and they're going to be fine. It's, can the quarterback get them the ball? Because if you can get it close to them or tell them where to go, that's where they'll be.
All right. The Jaguars defeated the Bengals 23-7. Leonard Fournette deactivated an hour and a half prior to kickoff because he missed some team events, had people scrambling to decide whether Chris Ivory or TJ Yeldon should get the work, or should get the start, I should say. Ivory went for 69, 3 catches for 34. Yeldon, 11 for 41. So it looks like Ivory won that one. Don't expect
Ivory's
him to play again, though.
I don't even know why they started Yeldon.
Don't expect that to... I mean, Fournette's going to be back next week, I'm assuming. So if you got to have somebody for backup in this event for Fournette, it's Ivory, hands down.
I will say, though, it does concern me that he missed it because of missing team events, which kind of makes me think, does this kid already think he's too good?
That was weird, right? A little concerning. Definitely
like,
concerning.
Are you already, like, too high on your horse that you think you're like, oh, I can do whatever I want? Because you're not.
I don't know
you're
if we're
in the NFL.
I don't know if we're ever going to find out, you know? It'll probably never come out, so who knows? The Cincinnati defense just didn't play well, though. They didn't play with any passion, any fire, and they got burned for it. Marquise Lee lit them up for 75 yards and a touchdown on 12 targets, 8 catches. He might be the only guy I'm really looking at maybe for that late playoff push in fantasy. Maybe stash Marquise Lee?
Yeah, I like Marquise Lee going forward.
All right. Andy Dalton stunk. 10 for 18, 136 yards. They could not convert a third down attempt, only 1 for 8. And that Cincinnati O-line proves again that they cannot block. And you saw it with
They're
Mixon,
so
dude.
Bad.
You saw it with Mixon. He has the opportunity. Hill was inactive. He had 13 carries, only 31 yards.
That I don't think he's that good. I think he is a running back who... like needs an O-line. Like he can't do it on his own. I think Hill or Geo would honestly be better suited for a team in this situation than Mixon. I think if Mixon, if you give him an O-line, yeah, he'll be fine. He'll be great.
You give him a hole and
he gets in the secondary, yeah, he's good. He's gone. But when you're talking about the rough and tumble, the no blockers. You're going to want Hill and you're going to want Geo.
Yeah. I'm worried about that too, dude, because I think 31 yards is 3 points for me. If he didn't get that touchdown, it would have not been worth a start. And if Hill was active,
he wouldn't have got it.
Yeah, but you're going to kill the kid's confidence. You put him out there with no protection, and he's just getting beat up constantly and can't get anything done. I think you're right, dude. You got to.
But that's the thing, though. You look at Hill, and that's what Hill's been dealing with for 2 years. That's what Gio's been dealing with for 2 years. And people are like, oh, Hill and Gio are bad. It's like, no, they're not. They've been dealing with a horrible O-line, and guess what? They've still been serviceable running backs because they're that good.
Yep.
Mixon is good, but Mixon is someone who would probably do very well in the Raiders.
Ooh, you know what I mean? That would have been interesting. Yeah,
like an O line that's decent enough can give you holes, can give you an opportunity, but he's not the Marshawn Lynch of a few years ago. He's not the Hill. Hill doesn't mind getting hit. He doesn't mind getting popped because he's a rough and tumble kind of running back, and that's what they need. Mixon isn't that. Maybe their O line will get better going forward. The only person you want to add for that team is LaFell or Croft.
Tyler Croft is the only guy on this team that I'm maybe adding for the playoff push, just because he's going to get to work. And I don't know. It's about all I got to say about Cincinnati right now. Wow. Rams 51, Giants 17. Eli Manning and the defense made a lot of mistakes this game. Manning 20 for 36, 220 in the yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 in garbage time, and an interception. Sterling Shepard, who we talked about a lot on the Sunday morning blitz, 5 catches for 70. Not a great game, though. He dropped a couple of passes, which is uncharacteristic of him, and most of his yardage came in garbage time. Evan Engram, 4 for 70, a touchdown. Tavares King, 3 for 33 and a touchdown. He was targeted on some long shots. Is he somebody you're looking at for a stash?
No. I'm not really looking. You got Engram and Shepard. Eli Manning's bad.
That's it.
The Giants are bad. I mean, we don't have to spend much time on this game. It's kind of like you know who your studs are and you know who they aren't. Evan Engram's a stud. Sterling Shepard isn't a stud, but he's serviceable.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really start anyone else from the Giants. On the Rams side, Goff, every week start. Robert Woods, PPR, every week start. Watkins.
That was good.
That was surprising.
Yeah. I started him because I had a feeling he was going to score. I didn't know he was only going to get one catch, but I'm glad that the catch was a score.
Well, it's funny because before the game, I was setting up my team because I was like, oh, I need a – because I – with injuries and buys and stuff. I was – Robert Woods, Watkins, and Goodwin were all on my bench – or all on the waiver wire, rather. And I was like, oh, I need to add someone. I was like, screw it. I'm just going to add Goodwin because – I don't know between Woods and Watkins who's going to do well this week. And I could have picked either of them, and they would have done better than Goodwin. And Goodwin didn't have a bad game.
Nope. Yeah. I mean, if you're a Watkins owner and you started him, good on you. If you can trade him away right now based on that score, on the fantasy points, and they don't look at what actually happened in the game. But, yeah, target for Woods. If he's on your waiver wire, snap him up. Cooper Kupp, probably rostered, but had a solid game. Try to grab him, too. Todd Gurley had a good game as well, so whatever. Any other guys on this team? I don't think so. I think if they're good, they're owned. All right, guys. Yeah. I just want to remind you real quick that Sleeper Wire was first an idea, just in the minds of a few guys, but then we wrote it down on paper and it became a reality, which you're listening to now. And NewAmsterdam.com agrees. When you put your wildest dreams and ideas down on paper, they transform into objectives. Now, you might say this is too traditional, but success comes from action. Write down all your ideas, dreams, and goals in a stylish, durable notebook from NewAmsterdam.com. This notebook is one that you'll grab with your keys, wallet, and phone on the way out the door each morning. It's that useful and great looking. It's rugged, sleek, and available now. Notebooks from NewAmsterdam.com are the first step in your ideas becoming successes. Visit KNEWAmsterdam.com. Place an order today. All right, the Colts defeated the Texans. The real winner of this game, I saw it quoted, was the Cleveland Browns as they hold for Houston's first and second round picks in 2018 draft. Brissett, 20 for 30, 300 yards, 2 touchdowns. Hilton had a game, 175 yards, 2 scores. That one, though, the Houston defense just, what, they just didn't touch him after he hit the ground. Heads-up play.
Yeah, that
by
was
T.Y.
very
Hilton.
Weird. I watched that play live, and my friend's like, oh, because he has DUI. And he was like, he's down. And I was like, dude, no one touched him.
Yeah.
I was so excited. I don't even have Hilton. It was just an awesome play.
Good head in the play game by T.Y. Hilton. Really dumb play by the Houston defense. Sucks for them. Doyle had a good game, 8 for 63 in PPR. Doyle's a must-start every week. Marlon Mack was quiet, though. Only 9 rushes for 26 yards. No involvement in the passing game, which is weird because we've seen him involved in the passing game a lot. Frank Gore carried the day on this game. 51 yards on 17 carries. 3 receptions for 26 yards. Are you still adding Marlon Mack?
Yes, I'm adding Marlon Mack on the sole fact that games for the Colts aren't going to go like this. This was Savage's first week back. He really wasn't ready to jump into it, as you said earlier. So when they face teams that have had quarterbacks playing the whole season, they're going to have much more competitive games, and that's where Mack's really going to excel, and that's where you're going to want him later on.
All right.
Especially in PPR.
Yeah, good PPR target for a little trade or something, especially his value might be down after this game. Hopkins had a decent day, 86 yards and a score. Fuller came back down to earth without Watson at quarterback, only 2 for 32. Is it time to just say Fuller's done for, or do you keep starting him, or do you drop him, or do you hang on to him?
You hang on to him.
All right.
You hold on to him because this was a bad week, like we already said. Give Savage another week. You know what I mean? Let him get acclimated to this team. Lamar Miller had 57 on 10 carries. That's not going to happen again. Lamar Miller is honestly the only player I'm down on because they're going to need a lot more blocking with Watson out.
Right. Yeah, so you don't think he's going to get as many carries? He's not getting into the 20 carry range again?
I hope he does because I am a huge Lamar Miller fan. I think any fan of the show who's listened to me over the last 3 years will know that.
They know it,
but
yeah.
I just don't see that because their O-line isn't good enough.
Right.
And they need that backfield to block for them. They need the extra help.
All right. And we talked about Fedorowicz as being a good ad for end-of-season push here.
Yep.
Let's move on to the Saints and the Bucks. 30-10. Winston left the game early, aggravating that shoulder injury. Didn't look good before that, though. And the news broke today that he is shut down for multiple weeks until he heals. Not a good game. 7 for 13, 67 yards. Showed a lot of lack of arm strength, short passes. Held the ball for too long. Didn't do much on any of the plays. The Bucks just look like a mess, Max. I'm scared. I'm scared for Mike Evans. I'm scared for Doug Martin. I'm just scared.
In my opinion, trade everyone away. You're not going to get much, but trade them away.
It's clean house. That's
The Bucks are a garbage fire this year. Evans, honestly, hasn't been what we thought he would be. It's not a good team. It's just not. And we thought they would be. Doug Martin, who honestly, I don't give a crap what anyone says, is the best running back in that backfield, is getting no work. Winston's out. I like Fitzpatrick, but I can't trust him with Evans or Deshaun. It's kind of short of bright, clean house. That's all right. What I'm saying.
Yeah. Peyton Barber got some action today, too. 11 carry or this week, 11 carries for 34 yards. He's a guy you might look at adding,
no.
Maybe? No? Okay.
No.
Just stay away. Alvin Kamara, wow, looked phenomenal. 6 catches, 84, and a touch. 10 carries, 68, and a touch. What
He's
a
so
stud
good.
This week. Jeez. And Mark,
so, Hoos was so right.
Mark Ingram wasn't not involved. He got 77 yards on 16 carries. So is this
Mark Ingram is arguing with the coach too much, and that's going to hurt him.
I know.
John Payton does not take crap from his players.
No.
He doesn't need to start you with Kamara playing the way he's playing. And the reason I think Ingram still getting 16 touches a game is because he wants Kamara to remain healthy.
Yeah, it's and he's not afraid to bench players either. So this is not looking good for Mark Ingram. But is this one of those situations, I mean, talk about it earlier, where you can't really see a lot of places where two running backs are usable. Is this one developing here?
Usable in the term that Kamara could be a solid number, like top, like high-end number two for you, and Ingram could be a decent flex, yeah. I could see that.
All right. Passing game was pretty good. Breeze, 263,
Breeze
2 touchdowns.
So.
Should have had three. Michael Thomas had a good game. Ted Ginn won, though.
Ted Ginn will be a wide receiver, too, for you going forward. Not necessarily in PPR, but look for him in the standard leagues. He'll be great. Sneed?
Yeah.
Drop him.
Gone.
Just drop him.
Sorry, Chris.
I just dropped him this week in one of my leagues, and the only league I actually held him onto him in. We've seen this before. With Drew Brees, he builds trust throughout a season and offseason with people, and Snead wasn't there to build that trust. And I know Snead's been great in the past, and I'm sure going forward in the future, like next season, Snead will be great again. But I think the ship has sailed so far this year. I've been wrong before. I could be wrong now, but in my eyes, it's just not worth it.
I'm going to tell you how serious it got for Snead and how bad you should drop him right now. Professor Chris, Willie Snead's number one fanboy, dropped him in a league that we're in together. So it's time. It's time to cut the cord. That New
Chris
Orleans
dropped
defense.
Willie Snead before I dropped Josh Gordon. Let's just talk about that.
I know the world is ending. That New Orleans defense is looking really good, though, out of nowhere. So I think that's a defense you might be able to stream in the fantasy playoffs. They got two games against the Falcons at the end of the season, so might be worth a look.
Might be worth a look. Could be a trap game, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Cardinals, 20. 49ers, 10. We talked about the 49ers. They're keeping the games close, but they haven't got a win yet. Bethard, 294. Interception rush 3 for 16 and a touchdown. Hyde had a pretty good game, 41 yards on 12 carries, 9 receptions for 84. Breida, 1 for 1 and 2 catches for 18. And you surprising because you thought Breida would be used more, especially after Hyde got ejected in the game. What's going on?
I don't know. I don't know. The 49ers have always been kind of a mystery to me ever since Harbaugh left. I just feel like it's an organization that kind of – they need a Bruce Arians to come in and slap people around. Like, they need Bruce Arians to be like their GM, you know what I mean? Mm. To kind of come in and be like, you're gone, you're gone. They probably should have kept Chip Kelly, because Chip Kelly would have just cut the fat until he found something that worked, even though I'm not the biggest fan of him. The only person I'd really own from that team besides Hyde would be Goodwin, PPR. Right.
Okay. Breida, I mean, people were high on him for a stash.
Hold him. I'd stash him just in case Hyde gets hurt, but...
yeah.
It's not looking good for him.
Alrighty. Drew Stanton had an okay game, I guess, 200
Stanton
yards.
Stanton is slinging the ball. He'll be fine.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's a veteran. And I think we're starting to see time and time again, when you have these backup quarterbacks who have been in a system in a league for so long, the McCown, the Fitzpatricks, Hoyer for a little while, Case Keenum now, they're not going to be barn burners. They're not going to be Drew Brees. But, you know, if you need a bye week fill-in, matchup dependent, but they're fine.
Yeah, I'll get the job done.
He's going to get 202 touchdowns. That should be expected.
People were panicking, though, about that whole offense. People were not starting Larry Fitzgerald. I was beside myself. How can you not start Larry Fitzgerald? He's the only reliable guy on that team. Stan's going to look to him. Get you 12 points in a PPR league this week. You start Larry Fitzgerald no matter who's throwing the ball. Right?
Exactly. It's Larry Fitzgerald.
It's just it's dumb to
like,
question
I
that.
Say that about, I want to say that about Evan Williams, but Larry Fitzgerald is better than Evan Williams because Larry Fitzgerald is better than Evan Williams. And even at this point in like Larry's career where he's older, he's like an A.J. Green. It kind of doesn't matter who's throwing the ball to who's near him. He's going to catch it.
Yep. Peterson, though, what's the story with this? Huge game. 37 carries, 159 yards. Does this happen again? Yeah?
Yeah. So they're all about him. Arians, if I know one thing, he loves to run the ball, and he's finally comfortable with a running back not named David Johnson that can run the ball. And he's going to use Adrian Peterson for all he's worth, and Adrian Peterson's going to give him it because AP wants a contract again. He wants to keep playing. So when you see Adrian Peterson on the Patriots next year, it's going to be because of this season.
Oh, boy. AP just had a huge game, though. His trade value is going to be through the roof to get him.
Yeah.
Are you trying to get him even though it's going to cost you?
It depends on what you give up. I mean, if you want to give me some
ideas. Saying, is he a guy that you would leverage a big trade for this playoff push in fantasy season? Like, is he a guy
it's difficult because the Cardinals don't have an easy matchup going forward, but, I mean, the Rams and the Seahawks have kind of shown up much of a fight.
Yeah.
I'd want him, but it would really depend on the cost. Like, if someone didn't believe in AP and they wanted – I mean, I would say Lamar Miller, but I doubt that. I'd give Lamar Miller. If they wanted, I don't know. It's kind of hard
McKinnon
to say.
Maybe?
Like
McKinnon?
Ajayi
and a piece, maybe, for Peterson? How much would you pay?
Ajayi and a piece, maybe, but it would have to be like Chris Hogan. You know what I mean? Someone like, right. Oh, he has potential to be good, but like, I'm not necessarily like looking for him to be like my stud. He's not necessarily a starter for me.
Right.
Something like that, because you don't want to pay an ultimate premium for him, even though I do think he'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you there. I'm not going to pay too much, but if I can talk him into a deal for not a lot, I'm definitely happy to have him for the push.
Oh, yeah, 100%. If you were lucky enough to get him in free agency, like, kudos. I got lucky in one league only. So
yep, same here. I'm holding on to him. I didn't start him this week. I wanted to over Mixon, and I should have, but I didn't. I still wouldn't won this week. I still would have lost, but I'm definitely going to look at him for the future here. So Goodwin's the only guy for possible adds down the line here for the playoffs. Redskins 17, Seahawks 14. This was a fun and crazy game. First three quarters, just defensive. Fourth quarter, shootout. What do you mean fluke?
Seattle shouldn't have lost this game.
No, they
should. Three missed field goals, Blair Walsh.
Oh my God, he's done.
I think Hauschka was going to cost Seattle too much, and that's why they got rid of him, because they have these mega contracts for the defensive players.
Yeah.
And the issue with this game was the defense couldn't do what they've done in the past and kind of hold it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. They had good defense. Actually, Washington played good defense as well. They had Wilson under pressure up till the last quarter there. You saw him run for 77 yards on 10 carries. And that O-line isn't any better, even with the addition of Dwayne Brown.
Well, so, Dwayne Brown, you have one piece to a crumbling building. It's not going to help much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like a Band-Aid or something.
Exactly. It's going to help a little, but I think Eddie Lacy's going to be the running back there because they want blocking, and he's the biggest back they have.
That's what I was going to ask you about, because he went out injured, and Thomas Rawls looked healthy and athletic finally. 9 for 39.
I don't think Rawls is that good.
That's what I'm thinking, too. I mean, he looked okay, but I don't want to start him.
I think Lacy's the best running back in that backfield, personally. And if he's in shape, like, he is. I feel like he's another guy who needs 25 carries in a game, like Alex Collins earlier. He needs to get the workload because, you know, he was fine for a while. You know, he got hurt. That sucks. But he will be used more when healthy because they need his body. They need him to block because Russell Wilson needs time.
All right, so big picture on that offense, obviously Baldwin, Graham, Wilson, they're all taken. Richardson, maybe.
Add Richardson for the going forward.
Add Richardson going forward. Would you add Eddie Lacy for the final of the season, rest of the season?
If you're desperate for a running back, I'd add him as a speculative.
Okay. All right. But not Rawls.
No. I don't like Rawls.
All right. Redskins, Kirk Cousins he had leadership. He had moxie. Led that team despite the O-line injuries, 247 yards. No touchdowns. Vernon Davis had a good game with Jordan Reed out. I think you start Vernon Davis. Reed's out. Josh Doctson had 3 catches. Good for him. 59 yards. Pryor, non-factor. Brian Quick was the only guy that really caught my eye. Got involved, 3 for 49. Is he somebody I want to add?
For as long as Crowder's out, yeah.
All right.
But until Crowder's back, he'll be kind of irrelevant. Pryor is another situation where, like, why aren't they giving him the work? Why they gave up on him so fast?
Yeah, yeah. And he's been dropped in a lot of leagues. Is he somebody you might want to add, you think?
No, because the Washington's doing what they do with all of their players. They go, oh, you don't work. Bye. Yep. You had 2 bad weeks? Okay, bye. And that's why they'll never be a good team, because they can't develop players. Josh Doctson's the only player I've seen them actually sit and wait on. You know what I mean?
I've been telling people, don't drop Kirk Cousins this week. I know he's not a great week, but don't drop him. The O-line needs to get healthy.
He's a quarterback.
He's a good quarterback. He showed some guts. He showed some leadership. He's got those qualities, at least. So he's going to be good. He's got a decent decent end-of-season schedule as well for fantasy value. Rob Kelly, 2 goal line touchdowns. Crappy day on the ground. Is he addable?
No, it's Chris Thompson.
Chris Thompson's guy, but he's already rostered. So that is that for Washington. Cowboys 28, Chiefs 17. Prescott looked good this week. 21 of 43 for 249, 2 touchdowns to Cole Beasley. Rushed also for 27 yards and a touchdown. Zeke Elliott had 93 yards and a touchdown. No catches. Who knows if he's going to play next week. But I got to feel good about Dak going forward. Even without Elliott, I think that team's going to be okay in his hands, right?
They'll be okay. Expect Alfred Morris to be a stud because they're going to give their running backs the work. And Dak, I'm not saying he's bad because I can't. He's very good. He needs that run game. He needs that extra piece. He's like Big Ben. He needs Bell. He needs a running back.
Just keep the defense honest.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Morris real quick because he had 1 rush for 11. Is that the sign that he's a guy if Zeke misses any time? Because some people are really high on Ross.
The sign that he's a guy is the fact that McFadden was already listed as a number 3.
So Rod Smith is the number 2. But I've been hearing a lot of people talk about him being potentially the best guy out of the group and possibly being a 3-down back.
Yeah, potentially, possibly. He's young. Who knows?
So
like, Alfred Morris is the known commodity. He knows the playbook. He knows what to do. And he's young enough and athletic enough to get it all done.
All right,
he's the guy I'm rolling with.
All right, I'm assuming Morris and McFadden are already rostered on most leagues. So if I have Eddie Lacy and I want a little stash, would I grab Rod Smith and drop Eddie Lacy on potential? No, not at all.
Ezekiel Elliott will fight the suspension until he dies.
Okay.
Like, all even right. If the judge says no, the NFL Players Association will just find a new judge. That's the nice thing about these kind of things, is they can keep fighting it and fighting it and fighting it and fighting it until it eventually reaches the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will say, all right, we'll see you in 5 years.
And then by that time, the season's over already, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing. They'll just keep getting stays and keep getting stays and keep getting stays, which is fine if you're a Zeke owner. That's why when people are asking me, do I drop him, do I trade him? It's like, no, just hold on. He might miss a week or two, but I doubt he's going to serve a suspension.
You have to at this point, because if he does serve a suspension, he's going to be on until week 16. So it's like,
oh, they're screwed.
Yeah, what's the point? All right, wide receivers did all right. Williams, 9 for 149, had a knee injury. Bryant, obviously, we talked about him in the little injuries he's nursing. Pretty good game. Cole Beasley, though, you love him.
Yeah, he's
awesome. Talk about him. Two touchdowns. He's worth an ad for sure, especially with the other two guys. Yeah.
Yeah, PPR definitely. If Dez Bryant's out, Bryce Butler. He'd fill in for the number two.
All right. That's it. We had a quiet day. Alex Smith on the other side, 25 out of 34 for 263, two touchdowns, first interception of the season. What the hell is Kansas City doing with Kareem Hunt only running the ball 9 times and Tyreek Hill only getting 4 targets?
This is Andy Reid, tried and true. He has something that works, and then he decides that he wants to change it. And then he goes to
hey now.
And then he'll eventually change it back, but by that point it'll be too late. He'll have a he'll lose his bye week in the playoffs. And that's just how it goes with Andy Reid. When Kareem Hunt's getting 30 carries a game and you're dominating the NFL, why would you change that?
I don't know.
This game was close for a little while, and the thing is, even if you're losing, if you can chew up a quarter on one drive to take the lead, that's good enough.
A lot of people on Sleeperbots, they were trying to trade away Kareem Hunt, and I was advising against it. I said, if you can trade for him right now, do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I'd probably trade Adrian Peterson for him.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I trade a lot of guys for Kareem Hunt for the end of the season. They got to get back to him. They got to get back to him eventually. That's what was working. KC's on a bye in week 10, but then they face the Giants in week 11. So this might be the opportune time to try to get Hunt or Hill in a trade with them being out next week. Raiders, Dolphins. So actually a fun game to watch, I think. The Raiders 27, Dolphins 24. Derek Carr, 21 of 30 for 300 yards, touchdown, late game interception. Good enough, not exceptional, but Jared Cook was the guy. And Dirty Jobs was calling his name on the Sunday Blitz. 8 for 126 yards. Max, you liked him before the game, too. Is this sustainable, or was this just
I love defense? Jared Cook. And Jared Cook, this is sustainable. Derek Carr likes him. Derek Carr trusts him.
All right.
This is something. Jared Cook is a great check down, especially you can't really trust a run game there. So he's going to be good. I like it going forward.
The Cooper, Crabtree, neither of them scored. 58 yards and 48 yards, respectively, because Marshawn Lynch had 50-plus yards on 14 carries, two touchdowns. Is beast mode back?
No.
Don't think so either.
I love Lynch. I like Seahawk faithful. Like, I love you, Lynch. Why did you leave? Why did you have to go? But no, he's not. He needs to prove it to me more. 14 carries isn't enough of a sample size. He had a few great runs, and that's going to be really good for the Raiders going forward. But he hasn't shown it enough this season.
He may be on waiver wires in some leagues. People just got fed up with him, especially after that suspension. Grab him.
Speculative ad, yeah, definitely.
Dolphins O-line, which you have talked about a lot on the show, looked a lot better this week, I think. And I think a lot of it had to do, like we were talking before the show, the coach just no nonsense said these guys need to show up, they want to play, and they got to play, otherwise forget about it. But that offense looked better and smoother, and Cutler looked good, 311 yards, 3 touchdowns. Julius Thomas looked good, 84 yards and a touchdown. Parker got involved.
This is stuff we called all season, The coach definitely walked in that locker room, smacked a few people around, and said, if you want to be on this team next week, step it up. And I think that was mostly towards the O-line, because they stepped it up. He already got rid of Ajayi. So we get rid of a franchise player, a potential franchise player like that, you know, looking around that locker room, that anyone's good to go.
Absolutely. Yeah, I feel good about this offense. I know they had a relatively soft matchup against Oakland, but I am not scared of starting Devontae Parker anymore. I'm definitely starting. I may start Julius Thomas in a few leagues, but Kenyon Drake and Damian Williams really split the touches. Drake was 9 carries for 69, long of 42, fumbled in the red zone, but he had the catches, 6 for 35. Williams threw up 14 yards on 7 carries, but he had 6 catches for 47 yards and a touchdown. Which of these guys do you want? And is this the kind of usage that's going to continue between these two running backs?
I heard a great announcement from one of the broadcasters during this game. Williams is the better runner, but Kenyon Drake is flashier. Right. And I think that is true. I think Williams is the guy that would be more consistent for you. But if you're looking for that miracle in week 10, week 11, week 12, Drake's going to be that guy. He's going to be that, wow, he rushed twice and got an 89-yard touchdown. Where Williams will be, wow, he rushed, you know, 15 times for 60 yards and a touchdown. So you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Williams, I think, will be more predictable going forward than Drake will be. But Drake will have that explosive kind of characteristic about him. If I was going to own one, it would probably be Williams because he has less of a fumbling history than Drake does.
Right.
All right. I feel like he'd just be a little more secure.
So if you're playoff bound, Williams is the guy you're saying. If you're struggling and you need that risk reward, Drake is your guy.
Yeah.
All right. Any other waiver targets to trade for, playoff stash guys in either of these teams here?
Possibly Jay Cutler in a 2QB league.
Yeah.
Or Devontae Parker if people got pissed of waiting.
Oh, yeah, definitely pick him up. I think probably the only guy maybe on waiver still is Julius Thomas, so he's definitely worth a waiver ad, I think, this week if you're hurting for tight end, especially this week because you will be missing you'll be missing Jared Baltimore. Cook. You're going to be missing Kelsey this week. Jared Cook's going to be out, and Zach Ertz, Philadelphia, all on bye this week. So Thomas makes a nice flyer for fill in tight end this week. All right, that is it for the games, Max. We have finished the recap. It took forever, but we got it done. And I think we gave them a lot of good value in terms of players that they should look for their playoff push, guys you stash away that might win you a season come weeks 14 through 16. All right, that is it. Today's show was sponsored by NewAmsterdam.com. Ever have a great idea only to forget it by sundown? Maybe you wrote it on a napkin that ended up in the laundry? Well, get the sleek Never Forget Notebook from NewAmsterdam.com and never lose those inspirations again. Stylish notebooks that'll hold the jumping off points to all your successes. Go to KNEWAmsterdam.com today. Make an order, NewAmsterdam.com. And head over to SleeperWire.com for our rankings, podcasts, and submit questions through the site. Also, please support our cause. Make a donation to Rob's Treatments for Chronic Lyme Disease. If we ever help you win a week or give you some answers that help you get some points, help us beat Lyme disease. Anything you can donate will help. Rob appreciates it, and we certainly appreciate it. Get there on the SleeperWire.com page. Look for the link to our cause. And, of course, the 12 champions of SleeperWire are online all the time and happy to help you. Join the SleeperWire channel on the SleeperBot app. And also the Fantasy Life app. You can find me at SleeperWire Steve. You can find Max at MaxSW. Or just look for at SleeperWire to talk to us. Also on Twitter at SleeperWire Show. All right, Max, I always appreciate being on the show with you, man. You watch football in a different way than most people. And your insight is very valuable in the long-term fantasy. So thanks for being on. And guys, don't forget, tune in Wednesday for the live mail sack. It's a live show. We take your questions and calls, and we get you ready for week 10. So, show starts at 7:30 Eastern. You can listen on the SleepWire.com page. Just look for the Mixler player on the homepage. That's it for the week. Thank you, Max. Guys,
thank you.
Have a great week 10.
Later.
Wire, the only fantasy football radio show with more than a dozen multi-time, multi-league, multi-year champions. Listen to the Sleeper Wire show every Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Dash Talk.